Joining me inside the barn on the Capitol Ag News Network is none other than Capitol State Senator Jerry Sonnenberg. We'll be discussing several topics related to agriculture on the state and national levels. First off, though, Jerry, I understand that Governor Jared Polis on October 16th was out in Yuma and took a tour of the wind facilities out there, Heritage Dairy, and also Smithfield Foods, too. Were you aware of that tour and that he was coming to Yuma County?
I did not know anything about it. I found out the day of the trip when I had a conversation with Don Brown, and he asked me if I was coming. I didn't know anything about it, but that's been common with this governor. He doesn't give a courtesy call to the legislators in the district he's traveling to. You know, the last governor would give you a heads up and say, hey, we'd love you to join us. This is going to be a cool deal. And I would have loved to have been able to be a part of that conversation when he toured, I think, wind turbines. I think he may even toured a hog facility. I don't know. You know, when it comes to rural Colorado, I like to do my job and be influential with the governor and have those conversations and represent those industries that are in my district. But yeah, didn't know anything about it, but that's okay, I guess.
You're right. Smithfield Foods was part of that tour as well. The gathering and the tour was put together by not only the Colorado Pork and Agriculture, but also the Colorado Livestock Association, the Colorado Pork Producers Council, and the Colorado Cattlemen's Association, too. So you can check out more details about Governor Polis visiting Yuma County on that tour online inside the barn. It is kind of strange that it doesn't seem like there's much press until it happens or after it happens that somebody learns about it, even members of the media. So you're not alone, Jerry. You're not alone.
That's been kind of normal from the first year of this governor serving. So I'm thankful that Don Brown was down there. He told me he was going to go, and I haven't talked to him since. I wasn't invited, so son of a gun, I had other things I guess I needed to accomplish, and that's okay.
And that same day, I was actually covering a Colorado Proud event down in Denver for Wendy White, the director of the Colorado Proud program. And that's also posted online inside the barn. You can check out webcast audio and video from that event at livestream.com/barnmedia. I understand that you just accepted an award from Pro 15, the alumni of the Plains for this year. Congratulations, Jerry.
Well, thank you, Brian. That truly was an honor to come up go to the annual banquet with Pro 15 and Kathy Scholl. And the rest of the folks with Pro 15, it truly was an honor. It was humbling. I appreciate their support and their recognition of some of the work that I have done for the Eastern Plains in those 15 counties.
You bet. And then back on October 10th, the College of Agricultural Sciences there at Colorado State University in Fort Collins began a new chapter when it broke ground on what will be the new headquarters for the college. I understand that you were there. In fact, I'm looking at a picture that you're actually holding the shovel and getting ready to turn the soil. Tell me more about that event that happened on October 10th.
You know, that was a great event. Went up, had a conversation with a number of people before the event, advisors for that College of Ag Sciences advisory group that Dr. Menon had put together years ago. And they have a vision, and that vision is to make the CSU College of Agriculture the premier research institution, the premier land-grant university for agriculture in the country. And we continue to work on that. We broke ground at the renovation in the Montfort Center there of Shepherdson Hall and the College of Agriculture, Shepherdson Building. It was an exciting time. If you remember, that was the day it snowed. And so we moved much of the speeches and conversation inside. And the interim dean of agriculture was incredible as he led the discussion. There were a number of great speakers. It was phenomenal. I was honored to be a part of that, as I have been a huge supporter. I have tried to utilize state higher ed money to help CSU in that venue. CSU does a lot of things with cash funds. I thought it was important to be the land-grant university to help fund that new project or that continuing project with some of the state dollars. So I've been trying to be helpful there. I was honored to speak as part of that. It was a great event and a great day.
You bet. You can learn more by checking out agsci.source.colostate.edu. I'll put a link and the story online inside the barn as well about the College of Agricultural Sciences at CSU breaking ground on their new headquarters. Once again, my guest is Colorado State Senator Jerry Sonnenberg. Wanted to move our attention and look forward a little bit here. Well, I'll tell you what, people have already got their ballots in the mail, and Election Day is November 5th. Anything you wanted to mention there?
Well, there are two propositions on the state, on everybody's ballot. We have Proposition CC and Proposition DD. I have been very vocal in my opposition to CC because you can't trust the legislature. Did a short little video in which I started off with the immortal words of Yogi Berra. This is deja vu all over again because we heard the same thing on Ref C in 2005. Then we had faster because none of that money went to transportation. We had faster pass, which meant new vehicle or new taxes and license registrations for auto vehicles for highways. And we still don't have the money going to highways and fixing our railroads and bridges, especially in the Eastern Plains. And I'm convinced that when CC passes, which keeps all of your money, your Tabor refund allows government to grow without control. They will spend it on whatever they want again, as they have in the past. And I'm an adamant no because of the legislature's track record. I have worked hard in my legislative history to try and keep spending under control at the state level. Matter of fact, I've received award after award for my conservative fiscal values and my fights against government spending on pet projects and not prioritizing their spending. And I think that the legislature will continue to spend the money on other things other than what they promise. Now, Dale will make the argument that, well, we have an annual audit that'll tell the people how we spent that money. And if you look back, we also have a report, an annual report that's updated on Ref C and how they spent the money. But it doesn't change the way the legislature handles the budget process and the way they change the laws so they can spend that money any way they want. I think they will do it again, and I wouldn't trust the legislature with your money. I would make them live within their means, just like you and your constituents or your listeners have to live within their means and their budget. You know, the budgets have been 13 years I have been in the legislature. The budget has grown over $1 billion on average over those 13 years, from $17 billion to $32 billion budget in the last budget cycle. Tell me that you cannot prioritize that extra $1 billion for highways, for education, for helping our teachers. The legislature has proven they won't do it over the last 13 years, and I don't think they'll do it over the next 13 years either.
So you're a no on CC. What is your recommendation, or do you have one on Proposition DD? Because it is a tax, even though it's a gambling tax.
It is indeed a tax. DD is a tax on sports wagering. And give you a little history on sports wagering. The Supreme Court has ruled that sports wagering is legal across the country if states want to authorize it. And so what DD does is authorizes that sports wagering and then taxes it, just like it taxes any other wagering or casinos in Colorado. And then that money is slated to be used for the water plant, which is an interesting discussion, quite frankly. The water plan was put together several years ago under the Hickenlooper administration, so that we had some sort of plan moving forward on how we were going to address water issues in Colorado. Now, given the water plan is somewhat vague, but it was intended to allow some flexibility for the different roundtables throughout the state to work on what's important in their specific basin, but this will help fund the argument, fund water projects, the ability to build water storage and help fund water storage, which from my perspective is a good thing, because anytime you build water storage, anytime you keep Colorado's water in Colorado, you're taking the pressure off of agriculture. You're taking the pressure off of urban cousins coming out to agriculture and taking that water and moving it to our urban cousins. The challenge here is that it is another tax. It is a tax being implemented on gambling. We have a tax on the lotto that money goes for GoCo dollars for projects, and we can argue the benefit of taking that money and taking the land out of private sector or putting conservation easements or different type of easements to limit the ability of the land use of that land, whether that's a good thing or a bad thing. Just like whether or not putting money in the water plan, if that money will be used as maybe those of us may or may not agree with on the Eastern Plains and in agriculture. With that said, you can look at it that it may have the same issue as CC. It is a statutory change in which the legislature can rob those funds for other projects. And we have done that before. We have taken money from water projects to balance the budget when there was a recession. The likelihood of that happening is much less than CC, because it was slated for a separate fund specific to water. Does that mean it won't happen? No, it doesn't. You need to weigh that in on your decision on whether that new tax money can and will be used on something other than water projects. There are good discussions on both sides whether or not that is a good avenue, whether sports gambling is something that we ought to be happy about in Colorado. And the other discussion is, quite frankly, will sports gambling on the internet continue, whether or not we pass this, and would Colorado receive any benefit from that?
Not much on this year's ballot, as it were, statewide, but boy, next year there's going to be a lot.
And you're exactly right. The reason, typically, we don't have this type of ballot in an off year, but Tabor specifies that you can have an election in the odd years, such as this year, 2019, excuse me, if it deals with finances or deals with a state budget. That's why we're having a ballot here in 2019. That's why we had the same ballot in 2005 on referendum C rather than in a regular election year.
My guest once again is Colorado State Senator Jerry Sonnenberg. Wanted to get to your Senate committee work that you're doing now before the legislature gets underway in January. Tell me a little bit more about those four committees you serve on.
Oh, absolutely. I'm in Denver this week for two of my interim water committees. I have the Education Finance Reform Committee Monday and Tuesday of this week, and then Water Resources Review Committee on Wednesday and Thursday of this week. And the Education Committee is trying to figure out, is there a way that we need to equalize how our funding is done throughout the state and make it more fair when it comes to cost of living, at-risk students, and quite frankly, mill levy. Many of the schools have a mill levy at 27 mills, which is the highest the state allows. And then there's other counties or other districts that may be down at 2 or 3 mills. And so the state actually backfills those districts more than they do our rural districts who are already charging more. Does it make sense to level that mill levy across the state to help with school funding? That's one of the heavy discussions. That's one of the discussions we'll have today. I have been working with some folks. There is a guy that has been brilliant in putting a model together on what that looks like and try to create an incentive rather than a heavy hand. Because if you change the mill levy in some of those districts, their taxes, their local property taxes are going to go up. Obviously, if your mill levy's 2, there needs to be some sort of incentive for them to be able to raise their mill levy up so they can fund the school, so the state doesn't have to put as much money into that pot. We're discussing what those incentives look like, and is that a viable option? So that's one of the things I'm dealing with. It's a great discussion. I look forward to continuing that. I am the only voice on that committee from rural Colorado, and that represents rural school districts. So it is indeed a challenge for them to understand the number of school districts. And for those that don't know, I have in my Senate district 1/4 of all the school districts in the entire state in my Senate district, many of them smaller districts. And so they need to understand how these type of things will impact those districts, and I'm honored to be on that committee to represent those rural school districts. And then, of course, Water Resources Review Committee, where we continue to work through a number of different water issues and conversations, including what happens if DD passes. Will CWCB implement the water or the funding for the water to the water plan? Will they continue to have oversight over the by the legislature, or will they be able to do things on their own with regard to the money from DD? I actually have a bill in Water Resources Review Committee to help with that discussion and make sure that they have accountability to the state legislature. But we continue down working on water issues in the state of Colorado, including the drought preparedness and those type of things on the Colorado as we work with the downstream states, and my concerns for what that looks like for the Western Slope. And I'm also in the Prison Population Reduction Committee, which is actually one of those interesting committees that has turned in a direction that I probably thought it would turn into, but I'm really worried about. Seems like the chair of that committee is, her mission is to make sure that private prisons are shut down and eliminated from the state of Colorado. And this is a fascinating discussion because, quite frankly, it was the Department of Corrections that asked these private prisons to come in and build prisons in Colorado to help with the overcrowdedness of Department of Corrections. So they came in, built these prisons, helped with Department of Corrections, and now all of a sudden the Department of Corrections and the chair of this committee wants to eliminate and shut these prisons down and leave these small communities like Burlington and Hudson and the other communities that have private prisons, leave them out in the cold with empty buildings. And I'm doing everything I can to help stabilize those workforces in those rural communities allow these prisons to continue to work and contract with other states or the federal government to house prisoners so that those communities can continue to employ those prison workers and have that asset continue to pay taxes in those rural communities. That's an interesting discussion we continue to have It's probably going to be the committee where I have the biggest fights. So we will see what happens. Speaking of prisons, the Capital Development Committee, which is the fourth committee I serve on, just did their Southern Colorado tour. We spent a day in Cannon City looking at the different prisons there, having some of those discussions on what prisons look like, modifications that need to be made, things that they're looking at doing, which was quite frankly an overlap with the Prison Population Committee. So I'm a little worried as we continue to have that conversation where capital development is going to go, because it is controlled by the party. There's four members of that committee controlled by the Democrats, which would also like to see, it appears, private prisons go out of business. We also toured our higher ed institutions, and for those that don't remember, the Capital Development Committee is the committee that's in charge of the assets of the state of Colorado. Those buildings, we prioritize how we take care of those buildings, where the limited funds that we have goes towards controlled maintenance, making sure that we prioritize that money so it is used for the buildings that need it. And then any new construction or upgrades, we prioritize that as well. So that's why that committee did the tour as well, looking at what the prisons were asking for to upgrade their prisons to meet the lawsuits that they are continually in with regard to recreation areas. We have done away with the administration's segregation, which most people would remember. The maximum security sentence, where they are confined much more than others. They're the problem sector. We have done away with that ADSEG, the maximum security type prisoners, and tried to make it a little more friendly for them, which I'm trying to work through their justification, but I struggle with not creating a disincentive for people to act up in prison. So those are some of the things that I'm working on in my committee work, which is indeed keeping me away from the farm, but that's all right. That's why the people Senate District 1 elected me, to be a voice in every aspect that I have an opportunity to be an aspect in.
Wanted to shift our attention away from your committee work and then talk about the crisis going on across the nation and here in Colorado too, I'm sure, with the depressed agriculture prices and all that agriculture producers are facing right now. Let's talk about mental health concerns in agriculture and Colorado Crisis Services and how they can help.
You know, one of my biggest concerns, and Don Brown had the foresight to see this when he was Commissioner of Ag, there indeed is a crisis in agriculture. Agriculture economy is depressed. There are people that are not going to be able to make their payments this year because wheat is $3.20. Fat cattle is $1.10, for crying out loud. That means that every livestock producer in that entire chain is taking less money for cattle, and it becomes a much tougher scenario for agriculture. And I don't know, there are going to be farms that don't survive. And when you have farms that are in trouble, you need to understand that farmers are proud people. Oftentimes, they won't even tell their family that they're in trouble. They'll try to continue to go. And then what often happens is they lose a little of their mental stability, and they have no other way out, and they have no way of keeping that family farm continued in that family. And sometimes they make decisions when they're in mental crisis, which eventually hurt families more. But we need to be aware, we need to help our neighbors that may be acting different, may be acting depressed, share with them a crisis hotline so that they don't make a decision that will ruin a family for the rest of their life. And when I say ruin a family, I hate using the word, but there are farmers and ranchers that will commit suicide this year from depression because of depressed economy in the ag sector. And I want farmers to know and ranchers to know that there is help out there for them. Pick up the phone, call someone, go talk to a neighbor, have a conversation, because there are options, and I want them to know about those options. It really concerns me, especially this year, with low commodity prices, low livestock prices, and a depressed economy with higher interest rates. It has become a challenge for agriculture, and I worry about the state agriculture in Colorado.
For help with any mental health, substance use, or emotional concerns for you or someone you know, you can contact the Cooperative Crisis Services Center at 844-493-TALK. That's 844-493-8255. Or you can even text the word TALK to 38255. Trained counselors provide immediate and confidential help 24/7, 365. And for even more information or to find a crisis services walk-in center, visit cooperativecrisisservices.org. Before I let you go, Senator Sonnenberg, any final thoughts?
You know, I do have a couple of final thoughts. It's been a tough couple of few months for northern Colorado and Weld County up in the Bridgedale area. The Balls up there have lost a couple of prominent people. When you have Les and both Leonard Ball have passed on here over the last few months. Roland Ball just a couple of years ago. It's been tough for that Ball Ranch and that Ball family. And quite frankly, Brian, I know it's been tough for your family as well. My final thoughts are for those of us in agriculture and the small family that we have with long arms that we wrap them around, all of those people in our communities that are in agriculture, that are tied to agriculture, and wrap our arms around, pray for those people that are struggling, that have lost loved ones in the ag community. And I know it's not just Bridgedale, but it seems that it's hit hard in Bridgedale most recently. But we've had those kind of things all across eastern Colorado, where we're losing some of those good people that we've grown up with that are way too young, that are actually younger than me. And you start to figure out that communities are hurting. And so I just ask in my final thoughts that people keep rural communities, especially Bridgedale right now, in their thoughts and prayers as they move forward.
Well, thank you very much, Senator Sonnenberg, for your thoughts on that situation. And yeah, you're right. Thoughts and prayers to the Ball family and everybody that's lost somebody this year. A lot of us are thinking we'll be happy when 2019 is over, but boy, we miss those guys, that's for sure. Thanks to Colorado State Senator Jerry Sonnenberg for joining me here inside the barn and on the Colorado Ag News Network. Very much appreciated as always, Senator.
It's always my pleasure, Brian. I look forward to talking to you again next month.
Colorado State Senator Jerry Sonnenberg represents the counties of Cheyenne, Elbert, Lincoln, Logan, Kit Carson, Morgan, Phillips, Sedgwick, Yuma, Washington, and Weld. You can follow State Senator Sonnenberg on Facebook, Twitter, and YouTube, or by visiting his website at electsonnenberg.com.